All right, everyone, it's about that time. The bell just rang. I think I know most people, maybe not everyone here. My name's Todd Ulrich. We're doing a teacher training class, just to give you a little intro of what's happening. So every class is a different teacher, so it's kind of interesting, it's kind of exciting. We're taking a different chapter in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, so it kind of gives us a chance as men that are trying to improve the craft of teaching to get better at that, try different things out. So if you see different things, different approaches, you know why that happened. I'm going to go ahead and open us with a prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you so very much for your Son who died on the cross for all of our sins. And at this time, dear Lord, as we go into this class, we ask that you be with me as I review your word, that I'm able to promote it, that I'm able to enlighten everyone in here, and that I'm able to help guide those to a deeper understanding of your word, dear Lord. We ask that you be with each one of us and help us to encourage one another and to help one another to see your word better. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Yeah, does anyone need a lesson? There are some in the back. If not, I have kind of the master copy if we need to print out more. Okay, as you can tell, the topic the chapter that I have is false and true teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. A quick question for either Ken or Marty in the back.
Well, you can see fine.
Can you? And you can too. Because I can turn out the light, but it gets really dark. And the font is not going to get much bigger than this. So I wanted to make sure everybody can see in the back. A little bit about what I'm going to try to go for in the next 45 minutes. It's going to be a pretty athletic pace, I would say. I'm usually a pretty laid-back kind of guy, but I'm going to try to keep things in a very time and athletic, I would call it, pace. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to discuss the objectives. Then we're going to talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. And then we're going to do some group work to kind of synthesize that a bit. So first, the questions are just to kind of get us warmed up, get us moving. Then we're going to do some group work. Then we're going to review. Interestingly enough, if you haven't caught that, we're going to do verses 6 through 16 first, which is what Paul is giving more or less the charge to Timothy as in what to do. Then we're going to take a different approach, and we're going to go back and look at the why. So it's just a different approach. I thought it'd be something we could try. But I'm going to kind of cut these two in half, and then have a little bit of analysis and discussion in between each one. If we make good time, then we'll discuss some application questions. So that may or may not happen, depending on how well we move through the information we have. So, 1 Timothy 4 objectives. These are the things I'd like for us to leave with by the end of the day. Name one warning and the two charges that Paul gives Timothy. Name the multiple connections to the recurring 1 Timothy themes. And then describe three insights from the chapter beyond kind of the basic content. And I know this group, or at least so far, is very much beyond the basic content. So that's kind of my objective, is to kind of get through the basics, just to kind of get our heads back in the game sometimes, even if we've studied during this week. So, let's kick it off. Basic context questions from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. We'll see who's read and done their homework, right? Okay. So if Timothy instructs the brethren, and it's directly off of, for those of you that have done your homework, I'm going straight off of our sheet here. So no surprises here. So if Timothy instructs the brethren in these things, how will he be nourished?
Well, Scripture says in the word of faith and in good doctrine.
Faith and good doctrine? Yes, that's correct. Verse 6. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Very good. What was Timothy to reject? That's verse 7.
Yeah. Silly myths or just irreverent, just things that don't matter.
Exactly. I have profane and old wives' tales, which, yeah, different translations. Very good. Thank you. Next one. A2 in your sheet. Unto what should he be exercising toward, and what is the value of it?
Godliness.
Yes, godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and of that is which to come. So, what was Timothy to not let anyone despise?
He was young.
That's right. That's right. His youth. Let no one despise your youth. You guys are nailing it. You guys are hot. This is good, because I think some of you maybe that haven't read this within a week or need a refresher. I just want to get you guys in the game. We're going to get a lot more interaction in the groups, and that's my plan. In what areas should Timothy be an example to believers? Exactly. Thank you very much. Be an example to believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. So, to what three things should Timothy give attention? Verse 13.
Breathing. Exhortation.
And doctrine. Yeah, I was waiting for that last one. Breathing, exhortation, and doctrine. And how could Timothy ensure that his progress would be evident to all? Verse 15.
Meditating on these things.
Exactly. Excellent. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. And how could Timothy save both himself and those who hear him?
Listening
and
making sure what's
being
taught is true.
That's right. Nailed it again. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. I didn't click.
So, is that doctrine a noun, or is it a kind of the participle, or whatever, the gerund or something, where it's continuing your teaching, that is the action, or in the doctrine, that is the content? You understand what I mean? Take heed to yourself. Did that question make any sense?
Yes. Is it the teaching? Is it the noun versus the verb?
Don't forsake the truth in that sense, or don't stop teaching, which is what doctrine is, the truth, the action.
Maybe it's a translation thing, but I mean, it says the teaching, so I was reading doctrine.
The teaching has the article in there.
I did not explicitly study that word to tell you for sure, but I think from the context that we'll see throughout the rest of the chapter, we'll see that both are inferred, both the content and to go do it.
And grateful is the, because there's so many doctrines around. It can be religiously very confusing. I underline the three times in my Bible, because there's only one.
And I think that's what.
And it's the apostles' doctrine. If you go back to Acts 2, that's what was studied, and that's what we should study today.
Well, and we see that. I mean, I know we're not there yet, but in verse 1, some will depart from the faith, and then we see the faith again in verse 6.
The one. Right. That's a key. That's an excellent point. The faith, the doctrine. Not a doctrine, not a faith, the. That's an excellent point. And thank you, Marty. That's an excellent point, because
the content.
It goes right.
Even though the whole chapter is about his actions and the way.
Yeah.
So the word apparently, much like teaching in English and Greek, functions both ways.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's what I was asking.
The V is an interpolation, not inaccurate, but it's not in the original text. I think it's maybe deliberately ambiguous.
And that's why I didn't want to say it's one or the other, because I have not done that personal study myself, but that is something I could definitely look into for a later class.
Why would he be then? Why would he question to address false teaching if you don't have the standard? How could you address the false teaching? Huh?
Exactly. No, I think you've got. That's it. I think that's totally it.
But he's also in the context saying don't let no one look down on your youthfulness, right? That there's some trepidation there. So you have to keep teaching and keep teaching the right things. I think both are required.
Exactly.
Verse 3 mentions the truth as well. So again, it keeps getting back to this one and how it's... The word, different words used to describe, but this oneness of this information and the people that are departing from it. So.
Excellent. No, thank you very much all for your comments. And now we're about to get, hit up our group work. So in talking about these, and you guys are really, I can feel you're energized about it. So this is going to be a great group section, both of them, I think. How do these verses, and this is already, I think, in your handout if you've done it already, how do these verses relate to the themes we're focusing on in this class? And those themes are love with a clean conscience, develop ourselves, and I'm going to leave these up here, no worry, discharge duties of service and leadership, address false teaching, and face evil. And also discuss, if you had to choose, what would be the most underrated verse in this section and why? If you can't think of the most underrated, maybe the most important. To make it easier for Ken, because Ken mentioned this is a tough one. So
you're working with a bad student.
No, not at all. And I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes. Heard every group, someone speaking at least. Looks like everyone was involved. What did you guys come up with? Or what were your thoughts on the different themes we've had?
Yes.
Yes. All right. That's all. Thank you very much.
Well, we didn't see face evil in these verses, right?
Okay.
That's kind of the emphasis of verse 5.
But you do see develop yourself and discharge duty to serve of leadership in there. In those verses.
So you guys said you didn't see face evil. Would you?
No, I didn't say that. Oh,
maybe not. I said it.
No.
We're too late to deny.
That's right. So would you say?
You did see it. What verse did? Yeah, that's where we want to go. Right?
In verse 7, would you get when he says, "Do nothing, have nothing to do with"?
Oh yeah, sure. There's that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for you. And also the love theme is found in
12.
I mean, clean conscience, kind of pure character, inside.
Right, so let's say we have love with a clean conscience. How about develop ourselves? Let's see if we got it.
Yeah.
Any developing happening? Yeah, I think throughout the whole.
And that never ends, no matter the age. I've heard women say, "Oh, I've had these Bible studies forever. I'm retiring." No, don't ever. Phil is such a great example of that.
That's true. Very good. Discharging duties of service and leadership. Did we have one? I thought we did have one. Okay. Address false teaching.
Yes.
Definitely the wise tales in the midst. And facing evil, yeah, we mentioned that. And so that was my attitude when I kind of looked at these was, I wanted to go through each of the themes and go, is it there? Is it maybe indirectly there? Is it there at all? And in any way can I see it there? Sometimes it's very, very clear, go, do this. This is evil. Attack it. But then sometimes it's, don't be like this, but be like this. And in being like this, you're facing evil. You know, you're making a stance. So I was kind of looking to see if there was any evidence of a theme there. What about most underrated verses? Have I had any favorites?
Oh, we talked about the let no one despise you for your youth. I mean, I don't know if underrated is the word for it. I guess all of these verses kind of jump out. But
yeah,
that one I just particularly like because of what I see today and huge divides between younger and older generations, and neither of them like each other and the advice that they have, you know, sometimes. And so I like when Paul, a much older person than Timothy here, is saying, hey, you have wisdom too, and it's valuable, and don't forget that. And even if you probably don't feel that way as a young preacher, and I thought that verse was very good.
Good. Maybe one more?
We talked about verse 15. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. And just that it's easy to feel, to try to have too much humility, or false humility, and to either hide the progress that you're making, or worse than that, not make any progress because you're afraid you're going to look like a show-off. And so I think the idea of your of working so hard that your progress is evident to all without really even trying is a high standard for us, and maybe something we don't emphasize enough, that your progress ought to be evident to everyone.
Right. No. Yeah. And both sides of that, I think, is interesting as well. I'm going to go through some of these that I thought of myself. I think that's one of the things is what did Todd see? You know, Todd's been doing this study. Love with a clean conscience. You know, I thought verse 12, you know, be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, in love, love with a clean conscience. Develop ourselves. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Developing ourselves. Discharging duty of service and leadership. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, spirit, faith, and purity. The idea of how do you serve, how do you lead? By being these things, by doing these things. And addressing false teaching. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing the words of faith. The idea of this is what needs to happen, or at least the way I read that. Here's what needs to happen, because if you don't, you know, if you're preaching the truth, anything that goes against that is going to be made clear. Or at least that was where my head was at with that. And in the face of evil, reject the profane, I think, is exactly what was said. Profane of wife's table, fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. And in terms of the underrated verse, I kind of cheated on this one on my own. I really see a powerful connection between three verses, so I took three. The what, you know, in verse 7, exercise yourself towards godliness, you know, as what do we need to do? Then you have the mindset in verse 12, or at least that's all these connected. Be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then kind of the how in verse 13, I saw this kind of running, you know, kind of getting a little bit more specific each way. And how do we do this in verse 15? Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So I just thought, like I said, I kind of took three and merged them together. But of how that just builds on one another was really impressive to me.
So I would say that all these things are going on at the same time. You know, five things and slide you just went, you know, went over. You know, these things are always happening, always ongoing, you know, they never stop, you know. So it seems like a lot, but you can do it, you know, just moving forward with it at all times.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So let's just take a moment, consider we're at Ephesus. Let me just tell you, there's some really smart guys in this congregation here at Ephesus. A guy named Alexander, a guy named Hymenaeus. These guys, they seem pretty smart to me. They brought up some really good points. They brought up some really good points, you know? They've seen a lot of marriages fail. They end up in divorce. Made a good point. Why do we get married anyway? Why do we get married? You know, we shouldn't get married. There's no point in getting married. Don't do it. No one here should get married. It's a waste of your time. In fact, it takes away from your life. Don't do it. Why do it? Alexander Hymenaeus were right. You know what else? Those vegans are right too. We need to stop. If you're eating meat, you got to stop. It's bad for health, high blood pressure, all these horrible things. We got to stop. You got to stop. I've seen some of you eating meat, and you got to stop. No meat, no marriage. That's what was happening in Ephesus. I was curious of whether I wanted to actually just say this about Embry Hills as an idea of we need to stop eating meat or we shouldn't, people should get married, but then I didn't want to scare people too much, so I kind of put an emphasis part people in there. But I wanted to kind of like bring it to the here and the now, bring it to the situation that we were in. And I think, you know, Paulo was nailing it before. There's a reason why he told Timothy all these things from the first half. And this is why. And this is the reason why. So, just quickly, and I'll go through these even faster because I have another group work and we're kind of running behind on time. What did the Spirit expressly say in verse 1?
There will be some who will leave their faith and go towards evil.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes. What would people give heed to? In verses 1 through 2.
This seems to be a theme there because you talk about this before, deceiving spirits and no wise spirits.
Yep. Spirits and doctrines of demons. Like even, it's another variation on the, you know, the wives' tales that he mentions later on. Lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And that was kind of, I was trying to give a little bit of a hardened feel to that kind of introduction to this half. What two examples of doctrines would they teach and why? Verse 3.
Forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods God created.
Exactly. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. And in my studies, it seemed to be that this was possibly most likely meat. But I just picked something. And it was easy to kind of like play the good vegan, you know, like, hey, you meat eaters. Very good, exactly. What foods are acceptable to eat and what makes them acceptable?
Everything with thanksgiving.
Exactly. Everything with thanksgiving. That's the, you know, the why, you know, because it's been given with thanksgiving to those who believe and know the truth. So what do we?
Gotta get your kids to eat vegetables.
Exactly. They're good, and this is the other portion of this, the idea that no meat, no marriage, as Paul says, you know, this is ridiculous because God's entire creation is good, and we can see this looking back at Genesis that everything created was good. So I just thought I would present the other concept of this. Or the rest of this. And now we'll get into our group work. We're doing pretty well on time at this point. So, it's no shock to you, it's the same idea, it's just we're looking at a different set of verses to see what we can find. How do these verses relate to the themes? We still have the same themes. And if you had to choose, what would be the most underrated verses in this section? And I heard a little bit of chat in every group.
Well, originally I said address false teaching, but Marty pointed out that it's probably not that. It's more like facing the evil, the things that are taught that are contrary to what the good doctrine is. So I think that's faith and evils in there.
And the idea with that would be with doctrine, right? With
right.
Yeah. With Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he kind of gives him the answers.
Yeah, he does.
Here's the truth in contrast to what
okay. Love with a clean conscience. Did anyone find that one?
Those who believe and know the truth. Verse 3.
Just on clean conscience, if you were the kind of person that was hearing their message and you were married and we'd meet, you'd feel like, I don't have a clean conscience.
Yeah.
But when Paul gets this instruction, you kind of realize you've been taught falsely and you can kind of love more abundantly.
And that was kind of my edge to it was, it's indirectly saying, no, have a clean conscience because you know your conscience is because you know that your conscience is based on, what God has made, in Genesis, all things are good. It's given to Thanksgiving.
Well, good. That's developing ourselves too, that conscience.
Right. Other ones? Develop ourselves?
Well, know the truth and the faith. You're going to have to know what those are. I mean, to combat these things that they're saying.
Yep.
And what they're teaching. I just think of the conversation when they were saying about forbid and marry and those things. You could look at some scriptures and it sounds like that's what God is doing. But the context is key. So
yeah.
You have to develop. You have to understand what the words are saying.
Yeah.
About foods and these other things. The context is clear. Yeah,
yeah.
You could look at it in a certain way and say, yeah, these are, but they're using it incorrectly.
And
it's going about it.
And Paul especially, right? He says, if this,
right.
Then you shouldn't.
Right.
If this and this, then it's dangerous, right? And different. But here it's very explicit, commanding not to marry. It's flat out, do not marry. And I kept thinking about, I wonder if they're raising that to the effect of sin. You're committing a sin if you marry. Like, how far do these false teachers go? But of course, it just says commanding not to marry.
To get someone to follow you, you usually have to put some kind of extreme on there like that.
Right.
Something you're going to lose, some benefit's going to be lost if you do this or you practice these things.
Exactly. No, very good. Very good.
In the Catholic Church, though, if the priests are not, so even today they're not, quote, allowed to marry. Remember?
Yeah.
Even today.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
The priest and the.
And I know there's just discussions about that and all that.
For years, I had to eat fish on Friday. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I meet Friday.
Yeah, and that
sounds good to me. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received in gratitude.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Hey, it says right there.
When we were growing up in North Alabama, there wasn't a Catholic in the whole county, and we still had fish sticks on Friday.
It turns into almost a tradition. All right, very good. We're a little bit behind on time.
Sorry about that.
Discharging of duties. Anyone for discharging of duties? I'll take one.
I mean, he kind of is setting up a need for someone to do that, which we'll address later in the chapter, but not explicitly.
And I think that's the way I had it kind of as well.
Under the lesson.
Yeah.
The Spirit's already told him there's going to be false teaching.
Exactly.
So he's got to rise to the occasion.
And the last two, I think, kind of go hand in hand, they address false teaching and face evil. Those are pretty much the gimmies. I was more curious about the first ones because I think those are the ones that are a little bit, you kind of have to, like, look underneath to kind of find them. Oh, underrated verses. Does anyone have any that really pop out that they really want to share? If not, I'll share mine.
What are we looking for? Because it just gets written.
What's it looking
for?
Verse 4, I think.
So if you take underrated literally, meaning that we don't hardly ever look at it or think about it,
or we don't give it maybe as much meaning as we should.
We talked about five. How is it that our little prayer before the meal makes the food holy? I think that deserves to be thought about. So.
It does.
It's underrated.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And what's the Word of God part of that?
Yeah.
As well, how does that happen?
And the thing I was thinking about is in this day and age where everybody's like, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I can't eat, you know.
It's a matter of conscience a lot of times, even Christians.
Yeah.
Right. No, very good. Well, these are all great points. I just don't have time to really dive deep into them. Marty's got an excellent point. I wish I had planned more time to hit on that point, because that's a that kind of turns into a very good. Just because maybe we pray with others over our food, what is that really? Or at least it's worthy of asking. You know, a lot of it. How do we do it? You know, what's our heart like when we do it? I mean, there's plenty of that's a beautiful, wonderful thing to like think about and go deep dive in, which we definitely don't have time today. But that's an excellent point. How do these verses? Well, you know, what did Todd come up with? Pretty much what you guys said. I think the love of the clean conscience. I kind of suggested it's inferred. The warning in verse 1-2. Some will depart from the faith, speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's going to happen. And then in verse 4, every creature of God is good. You know, that's the clean conscience. Developing ourselves, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. The idea of you got to know that God is good. You know, that's the clean conscience. You know that, like you said, there's some people that or maybe pushed into this, and they're thinking, I shouldn't be eating meat, or I'm married, or I'm married and I eat meat. Well, that's okay. And so let's establish what your conscience should be based on. Discharge service and leadership, and I agree with Mason. I didn't quite get it here. I just had question marks. Address false teaching. I think those are very clear. Some will depart from the faith. And for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. In terms of, to me, the most underrated, I would say, it's, I forget, at least to me, how vividly and graphically it verses 1-3 talk about the danger of, you know, as I would call it, you know, adjusting God's word. And this, to me, brings up the idea of taking away or adding to. You know, I got this idea, I'm going to, let me tell you about it, you know. There's some things. You know, in verses 1-3, that's pretty, but you know, we know what it says. The idea of me placing my, you know, I thought this out, you know, marriage is actually bad. Meat is actually bad. You know, well, nowhere do we see this in Scripture that it's bad, and it's to command others not to do it. But we go, hey, I got a better idea. I, Todd, I, Himenaeus, I, Alexander, I have a better idea. And of course, they were even more, you know, seared with a hot iron, their consciences. Wow. I mean, and I think that is worthy of also deeper, much deeper dive if we had the time. So we don't really have the time to really go through this in detail. How might there be ways? So this is something for you guys to take with you, for you guys to take home. How might there be ways that I'm departing from the faith by giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and have my conscience here with hot iron? And how do I currently exercise in a way to promote godliness? What can I do to get more athletic? I can just share you mine, maybe to get you guys thinking. Or, you know, I think I've lost a significant amount of weight, or at least to myself, over the past couple of years. And I have found myself thinking, I don't need to eat this, I don't need that. And I found myself getting very visible, at least in my mind, judgy of others. Why are you eating? You shouldn't eat that much cake. Why are you eating that much meat? You shouldn't eat that much meat. I don't say it, per se. I wouldn't dare, at least I hope I'd never have said, don't you eat that. You shouldn't be eating that. But I can, in my mindset, there's a certain certain factor of no one should be eating that much. You know, because I focus on this, which 2 years ago, I would have been I'm eating as much as I can. But then for me, it, I can feel me putting this kind of extra above and beyond to others. So that was just one for me, a very clear, something that kind of felt like, I know it's a kind of a, not that big of a sharing, but it maybe gets us thinking, where do we kind of put things? Go ahead, Marty.
Well, you know, what's behind this is some confusion about what religious really means, I guess. I'm assuming there were some other philosophies of the day that kind of led to these conclusions. And I read a term the other day, and I liked it a lot, entangled allegiances. And I think we could use patriotism, social causes.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole...
Racial rights, gun
whole
rights,
other.
You know, civil issues, you know, protection of democracy. We think those are our religious issues, you know what I mean? Just like somehow what we need. We get confused about that, and that's a danger. That the world is just importing what they think is important, and we're adopting it as if it were a religious effort.
Absolutely. Excellent. Thank
you. Moving social norms into the church is a danger.
Yep.
Extreme danger.
You can imagine this splitting the church. I guess that's what Paul was worried
about. Yeah, totally. And the last one, or at least for me, the idea of, okay, I think we're done now. Rejecting wise tales. I need to focus better on where I get my information. You know, I go to Facebook and...
You're not saying your wise tales on Facebook.
No. Well, kind of. Not literally wise tales, but a lot of...
Oh, I think they're literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that. You know what I mean. But I think we can all agree that there's wise tales and or variations thereof in Facebook. It is, right? Daily Bible reading. As Paula says... I need to do my daily Bible reading. I don't do it. I wasn't in her fifth grade, fourth grade class. But that, I mean, exercising, putting in a regular amount of prayer, putting in a regular amount of Bible reading, I'm not good at that. That's, at least for me, how I can really strengthen up those muscles. So that's it. Thank you guys very much. If you want, I know generally it's just a couple of men that provide feedback. Anyone that would like to provide feedback, I have a QR code here where you can write down the Menti code. I encourage anyone here to give me feedback. It's two simple questions. One is, what do you thought went well, and what would you like to see Todd improve in? That's it. Thanks. I won't keep you over.